Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Mammoth Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MTH and on the OTC markets under the symbol MMMRF. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Thomas Atkins. Now, Mammoth Resources focused at the Teneriba project in Mexico. This project is 100% owned by the company. And recently, the company released some drill results. July 13th, headline says, Mammoth reports 85.7 meters, grading 0.47 grams per ton gold equivalent from the diamond drilling at the Teneriba project. Four holes in total were released within this news release. I understand there's still 10 more holes to come back from the assay lab. Now, this drill program is designed to test up to 5 target zones. Let's start with the general program here and what you've learned so far about the results that have been released. Please, Thomas, give us a brief overview on that.
Thanks for that. That's a great introduction, Corey. Yeah, well, look, at our program was, we said, oh gosh, over a year ago, that we wanted to put another 50 drill holes into the project. And it was always going to be in a couple of phases because, you know, one thing that we did in this program is we would drill 3 to 4 holes in these different areas. There's target zones within 3 larger areas. So from the in the west of a 4-kilometer trend where we've done extensive sampling, I mean, gosh, I guess we're probably 800 chip samples, over 3,000 soil samples, like, you know, an area where we've got a really good and well-established gold footprint, plus geophysics, ground IP and mag geophysics, this 4-kilometer trend. On the west, we've got the Moreno. In the middle, we've got Masuparia. And then to the east, we've got Carneritos and that. And they all measure about at least a kilometer to a kilometer and a half by either equal diameter, or in the case of Carneritos, it's 1.4 kilometers by about half a kilometer. So big, big areas and targets within that. So we're testing various of these targets. Of the holes that we've announced so far, we're actually hitting successful tens, I mean, up to this 85 meter interval of what we believe potentially economical grades for an open pit heap leach setting. And I say open pit because we've got all this surface mineralization. A lot of these holes start from surface and go down 50 to 100 meters, or are intervals within surface and 100 meters. And our objective is to test that depth because an open pit, I mean, we're going to start with a 100 meter pit. That's you're going to do your first resource and your calculation on. So, you know, why are we drilling below that when we, you know, we're going to be mining it from surface down to these depths? So we're getting good results. We're hitting about 90% success rate. We're doing large step outs because we're really just blocking out areas. Take Carneritos, 1.4 kilometers by half a kilometer. We had 3 drill holes in that prior to this drilling. And so our program is we drill 3 to 4 in an area, and then we move to another as we await the assays, because then we want to follow up on those. I mean, when you've only got 3 drill holes in a gigantic area like that, if we went and started just moving the drill ring all around that area, yeah, it would be more efficient for drilling, but we wouldn't have any results. We wouldn't know what we were kind of following up on. So that's what we've been doing. And as I say, we've had a 90% success rate with tens up to like 85 meter intervals of economic grades.
So Thomas, it sounds like, to unpack things for investors that may be new to the story or following along with the drill results, you're looking to build a large disseminated bulk tonnage gold resource by doing these big step outs. I mean, those are big, 200 meters. Sometimes you've even done up to 700 meter step outs when we see other companies doing 10 meter step outs or 50 meter step outs. So you're just trying to get a sense of the scale of how long this mineralization extends, correct? And then how that could all tie together into a heap leachable resource. So maybe just speak to the overall vision of what this drill program and even the coming drill program is designed to do.
Yeah, so look, at these types of systems, high sulfidation systems, there are three of these within reasonable proximity of our project in the Sierra Madre, owned by, you know, multi-billion dollar companies. I mean, one's been depleted, but it was Glamis and Goldcorp, the El Sauzel mine. So, you know, our gold footprint is actually larger than theirs in the areas where we've got the gold on surface and we've begun to demonstrate it at depth as well. So, and you know, just to put context, I mean, Agnico Eagle's La India mine, it's a mine that's probably the most recent of the three mines that I've mentioned, and one, of course, of which has been depleted, Sauzel. But, you know, they're mining a 0.65, and our weighted average grade of all of our holes is 0.66. So we're right in the same area, you know, as far as grade, and that our footprint is a little bit larger. Sarzel was smaller than ours. It was a higher grade, but they calculated their reserve at $300 an ounce gold. You know, so both Sarzel and Mulatos, similar types of deposits, open pit, heap leach, high sulfidation, which is our metallogenic model. Sarzel was 1.8 million ounces. Mulatos is 4 million ounces. They were $350 an ounce gold when they calculated those and established the gold footprints that they have, which, as I say, are quite frankly, they're near our size, but we're actually a bit larger than that. And then the most recent of those mines, La India, Agnico Eagle's La India, they're mining a 0.65 and they calculated their reserve at 1379 an ounce gold. So, you know, here we are at 17. So, you know, we're confident of the grade and we see the scale and we're seeing the dimensions in our drill holes. So it's exactly what we expected. Again, we talked about the success rate, 90%. We're blocking out these big areas. What we'd like to do as the next follow-up phase is we'll be going in and we'll doing some infilling and you know, still testing the boundaries of the large areas that we've begun to establish in that. So, you know, to put that into context, large areas. So the Moreno area to the west, it's deeper in the system. It's also topographically, it's deeper in the deposit. So probably will be mined later in the mine life scenario, but it's about 1.25 kilometers by about 3/4 of a kilometer size area. The central Masopari area is about 1.2 kilometers by about 300 meters that we're to find some through drilling some material. And then Carneritos to the east, it's 1.4 kilometers by about 0.5 kilometer right now, where we've tested the boundaries in that scale in various areas. So again, we always knew it was a big gold for it. We saw that from the soil work. We saw that from all the chip samples we've done. We always knew we had this big surface footprint. And now clearly we're demonstrating that it continues to depth. We did some preliminary metallurgical work in the central Masopari area, because that had been drilled first by a predecessor back in 2007. We had the core available, so we wanted to know, hey, is this oxide? Would it be amenable to heap leaching? We got 100% recovery in 24 hours on bottle roll tests there, down to a depth of about 60 meters, and then we got sort of in the mid 60s, recovery down to 100 meters depth. And so we're going to do this over in the Carneritos area now, where we now have more drill core. So just establishing that too is amenable to heap leaching. And, you know, if everything pans out, as I expect it will, because we see the rock being oxidized when we log the core, you know, we're on the way to building a sizable resource in a project where there's large surface area of gold mineralization and, you know, existing on surface and down to shallow depths. So, I mean, like, it's a very, very good scenario. I'm very pleased.
So Thomas, are there any high grade sections within this project broadly, or any of the targets that you are drilling that would warrant more follow-up? Or is this, again, simply to Shad's point, a big bulk tonnage play?
There is. Like, there certainly is. You know, just a historical interval in this central Masopari area, there was about 25 meters of 4 gram per ton gold equivalent. It was part of a larger 47 meter of around 2.25. Even amongst the results that we've announced in this program, you know, we've had higher grade intervals, you know, that go over a gram. And I got to put this in kind of context. Here's the thing. The narrowest sample that we take is 1.5 meters, because we see the bulk tons. Like, this is not going to be, you know, someone's going to be underneath their underground chipping out some vein. This is not a vein type deposit. So we're not really going after high grade. So that's the one thing I have to say. Look, we do have material that assay over a gram, up to a couple of grams over 3 and 6 meter intervals. But the narrowest interval that we're even sampling is 1.5 meters up to sometimes 4 or 6 meters. So it's not our objective. Like, we're, you know, there's no benefit realistically other than promotion to come up with a 15 or 30 or, I don't know, 90 centimeter interval of high grade. It's not really relevant. I mean, yeah, the headline might look interesting and splashy and that, but it's not relevant in the context of building a resource in a mine. And the other thing too is, look at these high sulfidation systems. It's basically they're forming from a volcano, and it's coming up through the rock as the volcano forms. So you think of a volcanic cone, and that all of these hydrothermal fluids are coming up and permeating all that volcanic ash and things. And this is something that we specifically see in Caminito. This, we call it a collapsed dome. So it's that volcanic dome that has collapsed in on itself. And so, you know, we see lots of indications of that scenario in that. And so there are feeders of higher grade material where you get a combination of a good conduit. It could be a fault. It could be the type of rock that the hydrothermal fluids come up through with greater intensity, and there's you can get a concentration. But, you know, you have to put into context. I mean, we're doing 200 meter step outs and we're drilling with a 3-inch diameter drill core. So, you know, it's really going to be more luck than skill getting those vents that could have this higher grade. It certainly has the potential, and obviously it will make, you know, the overall grade more attractive if we get some of those. But, you know, at best, the geophysics, when you're doing geophysics on 100 meter spacings and 50 meter stations and things like that, at best, you know, you're going to get a fuzzy image of the potential at depth. You can't pinpoint, you know, a higher grade vent like this with that kind of broader, you know, exploration data. Doesn't mean to say we won't hit it, but, you know, I have to be honest, it's going to be more luck than skill if we do at this stage. And it's not our objective right now to kind of say, well, look at, you know, we got this, you know, we get this high grade thing, let's step out 6 meters or 8 meters and, you know, and keep the enthusiasm going on something like that. I mean, you know, if we get something like that, you know, we'll look at it, we'll try to get a sense of its dimensions, and we'll try to block it off, because obviously it'll be relevant eventually to the mining if it's a nice high grade shoot. But, you know, I think that this deposit is going to be built on lengthy intervals as we're getting, and, you know, modest but economical grades to build a large bulk tonic resource. We can get the high grade stuff. I hope we do. I think we can. But, you know, you got to put it into context, a 200 meter step out and you're drilling with a 3-inch diameter bit. You know, I mean, come on, everyone can do that kind of calculation themselves, right?
Absolutely, Thomas. And it makes sense. The model that you're following is a model that can build a resource that could prove to be economic. And there's plenty of mines in existence right around you that are operating at similar grades as your average weighted grade of 0.66 grams per ton. And in a heap leach operation, the beauty of those is that they're very economical, and they're really just a dirt moving exercise. You're moving it onto the pad and you're leaching out the gold into carbon. So it's a pretty easy model. So I guess everybody's probably going to want to know, let's just wrap up with this, Thomas. On the next drill program, once you get past the rainy season, what will the main focus be? Will it still be on these three targets? Are there any other new targets? Are there any of the three targets between Moreno, Masuparia, and Los Carnitos that are going to get the lion's share of the drilling? Just walk us through what's to come on the follow-up drill program from here.
Yeah, look, at the lion's share, definitely, you know, as we're seeing right now, will be on Carnitos. And the reason is its size and the consistency of you know, getting the grades and the, like, the intervals and the grades that we're getting there, and how sparsely it's been drilled still. I mean, it's, you know, like, we're going to have, I think we're going to have, of the 27-hole program, I think we've got like about a dozen holes into the area, but that's a dozen following up on a 3, and it's a big area. The Masopari area has been drilled. I mean, it's pretty dense drilling. It might get 20%, the couple of places that we want to maybe test some of the edges or a bit of infill on that. And then the Moreno area as well, interesting, but again, it's sort of later in the mine life. So I don't know if we're going to do so much more in Moreno at this point in time or in the next phase. So I think a lot of it will be on the Caneritos area, and just testing the margins of that a little bit more, and then some infill drilling to get a density that will allow us to start, you know, visualizing and perhaps move towards a maiden resource calculation. So we're kind of getting pretty close to that maiden resource, where we think we can, you know, give an indication of how many ounces could be there. And of course, from there, you know, you maybe do a little snapshot, quick preliminary economic assessment to see what the economics would look like in a scenario like that. But I mean, look, there's plenty of those PEAs out there, and there's companies that are moving forward on inferred resources. I mean, Alamos, these are guys that I worked with when I was at Castle Gold, and they're moving their Cerro de Oro, which is an inferred resource, and its average grade is 0.41. So we're actually 60% higher than that on our weighted grade. And, you know, they're moving forward with that project. Geez, when I was at Castle Gold, we were mining 0.47 at $1,000 an ounce gold. So, you know, there's lots of room within the grade we have to have a pretty robust project, and given its size as well. So,
all right, Thomas, thank you for this update. We'll post a link below this interview to the news section on the Mammoth Resources site. Outside of that, if anybody has any follow-up questions, as always, you can email us and we will follow up as some more news comes out of the company. Thomas, thank you for the update.
Thank you so much, Corey and Chad. Always great talking with you guys. I really appreciate it. Have a nice day.